Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. I love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. You know, one thing you learn as a parent, number one, when you first get married, you know, we wanted kids. We came from a big family. I want kids. I don't want to grow by myself. I want somebody to, you know, buy me a Christmas present, send me on a cruise, buy me a Winnebago. You know, I don't know, but I realized something. Children are a gift from God. Psalms 127, Psalm 128. Children are a gift from God. My job as a parent is to train them up, teach them who they are in the Word of God, and give them back to God. I only have them temporarily. And so I've got a job to do. What you trying to do? Well, I'm trying to grow them up, say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Don't lie, cheat, and steal. But actually, I'm trying to get them to know Jesus. I want you in the Word of God. We're going to need to be in a great local church and volunteer and participate. Because my kids do what they see, not what I tell them to do. They're visual. So they're going to talk like I talk, react like I react. You know, a child when fully taught is going to be just like their teacher, Luke 6:40. And so I realized, man, I got to get this thing in gear. So one of the things I came up with, I remember when my kids were first starting to get married, I was sitting with them one day, and I thought, well, I'm going to do pre-marriage counseling. And I overdid it. It's too much. I don't do this anymore. So I went through 6 months a pre-marriage counseling with my first kids, and I wanted to see them for four hours, one night a month for 6 months. So I'm going to see you six times and 4 hours each. I'm going to do 6 book reports, read 6 books, and I'm going to ask some questions. And I remember I was coming up on the sixth night, you know, we're just a few weeks away from the wedding. I thought, man, I've told them too much. I don't even remember what I told them. I've told them too much. And so I'm trying to think, what did I tell them? So I went in that night, and I said, listen, guys, if you remember half of what I told you, I'll be surprised because I don't even remember it. And I'm the one that told you. I said, well, if you'll remember these four things, and I had a 3x5 card on my desk in front of me. I said, if you'll just remember these four things, your life's going to go pretty good most of the time. And when I finished, I thought, well, actually there's 5 things. And I added the 5th one. And we're just talking, laughing. And I said, well, actually there's a 6th thing. Well, when I finished that night, there were 8 things. And eventually became a best-selling book called 8 Things No Kid Should Leave Home Without. So I got thinking about it, man. This is great for all my kids. And I would usually go through it at holiday every year. Let's kind of repeat this thing. Here's the things you need to have to be successful when you're an adult. So I'm just giving to you real quick. Number one, 8 things no kid should leave home without. Number one is a strong sense of self-worth. Every kid needs to like themselves. You know, you really need to like yourself. Galatians 5:14, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, the great commandment, you know, doing to others you have them do unto you. I tell people, you know, people can't love you any more than they love themselves. People won't like you any more than they like themselves. And the only way you can love you is to know that God loves you. The creator of the universe loves me warts and all. It's not my GPA. It's not my IQ. It's not how I had a born with a silver spoon in my mouth. It's do I know Jesus? You know? And so it's a strong sense of self-worth. I need to know that I am accepted in the beloved, that I, as a child, can run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help in time of need. You don't run from God when you have a need. You run to God. And, man, we all know it was grew up in church, and all of a sudden you see a family, and they weren't at church one weekend. Next weekend, they're still not at church. So, well, they're on vacation, and something happened. And you realize over time, no, they'd gotten upset. They had sinned. Somebody had sinned in the family. So they're going to stay home for a few weeks and try to clean themselves up. And as soon as they get clean enough to come back to church, they'll come back. Well, no, it's right the opposite. As a believer, the Bible says, run boldly to the throne of grace. Now, when do you need grace? When you have premeditated sinned on purpose. What do you need? I need grace, God. I need grace. And the Bible says, blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road. You know, he's been blind since birth, and there's a lot of racket. He's begging for money, and a lot of racket. He said, man, what's that noise? You can't see. He said, what's that noise? He said, man, that healing rabbi is coming down the road. And all of a sudden, blind Bartimaeus began to yell. He said, mercy, son of David. Have mercy. He didn't say, hey, eyeballs, healing man. Need some eyeballs over here, which is what he needed. But what did he know? He knew that God will stop when somebody says mercy. God's a merciful God. His mercies are brand new every morning. So one thing you need to know when you leave home, you need to like yourself because God likes you. You don't have to be a straight-A student. You don't have to be in the choir. You don't have to be captain of the football team. You just need to know that the creator of the universe loves you just like you are. You'll never be able to do anything more to make God love you any more than he loves you right now. You're accepted in the beloved. So when a kid leaves home, if you like you, you'll not be a problem to anybody. You'll always show up in a room or a group of people trying to leave people better than you find them. You're not the show off. You're not the braggadocious one. You're just trying to find, hey, who can I help today? Who can I be a blessing to? I mean, people like that, they go places in life. They just do. Number two, you need to leave home with a great vision. We all know this really well, Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. So when you leave home, where are you going? Well, I'm just leaving home. Well, where are you going? And I used to do it with the kids. I still do this. Like, give me a five-year plan. So every Christmas, I sit down and give them a blank piece of paper. I said, 5 years from now, where are you going to be? And I want one sentence. I don't want a paragraph. I don't want a novel. One sentence. Where do you think you'll be in 5 years? And they'll tell me, and I say, okay, well, if that's the case, where will you be in 4 years? And they say, well, I'm going to be here. Well, if that's the case, where are you going to be in 3 years? And I'm taking it all the way down to 1 year. Well, 1 year from where are you going to be? I said, listen, if you don't start moving toward that, 5 years from now, you're going to be exactly the same place you are, thinking the same thoughts you have, because life doesn't change unless you push toward it. So you need to have a great vision. Where are you going to go? What do you want to do? And there's no pressure on money or IQ or degrees. It's just vision. What do you want? What do you want out of life? As a man thinks his heart, so is he. God will give you the desires of your heart. What kind of desires do you have? Number three, I said you need a love of math. Now, you don't have to be great at math. You don't have to be a nuclear engineer, but you do need to know 2 + 2 = 4 because God's a mathematician. Matthew 25:14, to him that has shall more be given. God's a God of stewardship. If you want more of something, take care of the thing you've got. You know, you got an old car with the hood wired down and paint's missing. Make sure you keep it kind of washed and cleaned up because God gives you more of what you take care of. It's the pair of the talents. You know, the guy with 5, 2, and 1, 3 guys. God's going to leave on a trip. He's turning his ranch over to 3 different guys. He said this, I'm going to put you in charge of 5 sections of my land. You're going to be in charge of 2 sections, and you are going to be in charge of 1. And they begin to question, why? Well, you proved you can handle 5 sections of land. I'm going to put you in charge of what you've proved you can handle. You, I'm going to put you in charge of 2 sections because you proved you can handle 2. And you, you're only getting 1. Well, how come I only get 1? Because you proved that's all you can handle. I will not give you, nor God will not give you more than you can handle or you can take care of. So increase your ability to handle things well. So it's called the love of man. Number 4 is organizational skills. Psalm 90:12. Oh God, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts into wisdom. You know, order precedes increase. I tell people, if you want more of something, clean up what you got. You believe in God for a new truck, go in the garage and clean out the garage and find out how big that truck is and put a chalk mark on the floor and tell the kids, don't set a bicycle, don't set anything where this square is. That's where the new truck's going. Prepare for increase. God's people always prepared for increase. You do that by getting organized. Number 5, you need to have a real teachable spirit, what we call a humble attitude. Psalm 37:11, it says, the meek, not the weak, the meek. Meek means teachable. It said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Ooh, have mercy. Becoming teachable means being thankful. Meek people are humble people. Humble people are thankful people. They're not arrogant. They're not writing the name of the boss on the bathroom wall. You know, they're not leaving nasty notes under the door. They're teachable. Hey, and that means when you show up and you're teachable, listen more than you talk. You know, you got 2 ears and 1 mouth. You need to listen more than you talk. So be teachable when you go through life. Number 6, you have some communication skills. I wanted my kids to know how to talk because I worked in factories for years and I'm just, well, they'll notice me. I'm just working hard. They'll notice me. No, nobody's going to notice you. Everybody shows up to work doing one thing, thinking about themselves. I, me, and I. So if you get an opportunity, don't gun flap, but at least share. Hey, how's it going? Well, sir, this line's going really good. This is happening right here. We could use some help right here on this. And I think we do this. This has helped produce it a whole lot better. Learn how to communicate. It's just really good. 1 Peter 3:10. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and see that his lips speak no guile. When you talk, don't gossip. Don't backbite. Don't prejudge other people. Well, this guy's a doofus. Well, she's an idiot. And this, don't do that. Leave everybody better than you find them. When you talk, leave everybody better than you find them. Number seven is character. That's what you do when nobody's looking. Job 31:4. God, does not God see my ways and count my every step? God's got the hairs of our head numbered. You're not going to do anything God doesn't know. I remember when I was a kid, you know, teenager, we'd all whisper, hey, nobody's looking. Nobody's looking. Listen, guys, everybody's looking. God's looking. Angels are looking. They're counting angels, writing down every idle word, every idle deed. If I think something, an angel writes it down. The Bible says some men's sins are dealt with in this life, but some men's sins are dealt with in the next life. But everybody's going to have to give an account of what they did and what they said. They're recording angels. There's nothing that gets like a, there's no wet bar of soap. It's not going to slip out. Then the last thing you need, number eight, Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart does good like a medicine. You need to have a great sense of humor. Everybody needs to have a great sense of humor. You need to learn how to laugh. I remember one Thanksgiving, we had those six kids, and it snorts, and I want everybody to calm down. I want to get the Thanksgiving dinner out of the way. I'm going to watch a little football. Barry Sanders was playing for Detroit, and he was a great guy here at Oklahoma State, great football player, and I like to watch him, and he's going to be on TV. And my wife finally grabbed me by the ear and said, Joe, you need to calm down. We're going to get everybody at the table, and it's going to be nice and calm. We're going to eat our turkey, and you get to watch your football game. But I want you to know something. Eventually, when the kids get old enough to leave home, I'm going with them because I don't like you anymore. You used to be a fun person to be around. What happened? I said, I had six kids. That's what happened. And so I realized something, that I had changed my attitude. I was grumbling too much and complaining and griping. I used to be a fun guy. Used to laugh all the time. Well, it took about a year and a half to get it back, but I began to change. I said, I got to make myself think different. I got to think different thoughts. I got to have a different mindset. And so I got to where I'd leave funny notes for my kids. I'd leave a note for them sometimes on the toilet seat lid. I'd tape a note on the toilet seat lid and said, hey, thinking about you, Dad. I'd send them funny cards in the mail, even though I lived the house. They'd get some maybe at school, and I'd send some to school. And I started being very aggressive, letting everybody know, hey, guys, I love you. It is a fun family. We're having a great time. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I remember when I was a school administrator one time, I had a class trying to teach kids on biblical finance. Said, I want you to know how to be a stewardship, because you're going to need money the rest of your life. Cost of living is going to go up. It's not going to go down. Things will get more expensive, not cheaper. But God will supply all of your needs. And so I remember one week I gave everybody a dollar bill on Monday. Now, this is a biblical finance class. And so 9 weeks long, and said, at the end of 9 weeks, I said, okay, guys, I hope we've learned everything. Now, today I'm going to give every one of you a dollar bill. And said, what I want you to do is I want you to do something with it. And Friday, whatever you do with that dollar bill, bring back the receipts of whatever you've done. Now, personally, I don't care. I don't care if at lunchtime today you go to the lunchroom and you buy a Twinkie and a Dr. Pepper. I personally don't care. Just bring the receipts. But if you do anything like we've listened and learned in this class the last 9 weeks, see if you can make this dollar work for you. If you put this dollar to work, you know, people don't work. Money works. You make money work for you. And so this one kid did. And so on Friday, they came back, and we had a class. Okay, everybody comes up one at a time, presents your receipts, tell me what you did. And we did. We had some boys, you know, on our ball team come up, and they gave the receipts for a Twinkie and a Dr. Pepper. They did that on Monday. And, of course, they're trying to impress the girls, and everybody laughed. Hey, I'm the Twinkie and Dr. Pepper guy. One kid came up, though, and he laid down 117 $1 bills. And he had them all at once. He counted them out. And the kids started, hey, man, he's lying. No, he's not. He's got to have the receipts. Give him a minute. Be quiet. It's his turn. And so he laid down and said, no, how did you get this $117? He said, well, Mr. McGee, on Monday I took that dollar bill and I went to a local candy store and I bought a lot of 5-cent candy. Tuesday I came back and I sold it for a quarter. I took that and I bought some quarter candy, came back on Wednesday, sold that for a dollar. Wednesday night I took that and I bought a football. And I had a local college kid who was real popular and very good, little All-American, autograph this football, and I sold it Thursday evening. And so I took that money from that, and I found a used 10-speed bicycle, and I bought a 10-speed bicycle on the way to school this morning, and I just sold it for $117. Now, I turned him around, faced the class, I put my arm around him. Now, guys, when you come to your 5-year reunion for high school, you need to look this guy up because he's going to be doing something. He's not going to be driving an old car with the hood wired down, wearing some old clothes. This kid's going somewhere. You got to have a vision for your life. And that's part of those eight things, you know. Do you know that God loves you? You got a vision for your life? You know, do you love math, putting things in order, having organizational skills? Keep yourself humble. Listen more than you talk. Know how to talk to people and with them, not at them. Do what's right, even nobody's looking. You do what's right because it's right to do what's right. And the joy of the Lord needs to be your strength. Smile when you show up in the room. They're going to remember you a whole lot better, I guarantee you. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.